Please join me in the prayer for illumination. Almighty God, give us ears to hear your story in these words of Scripture. Give us eyes to see your story in the faces of those who surround us. And give us faith enough that by your grace, we might serve you until the end of our days. Amen. The first reading today is Psalm 24. Hear the word of the Lord. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false, and does not swear deceitfully. He will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from the God of his salvation. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
First of all, I want to thank you for sharing your pulpit and your worship with us this morning. It's a real honor to be here with you today. The gospel reading today comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 22 through 40. Listen for the word of the Lord. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord. Every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation for the Gentiles and glory for your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said to them. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword that will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth, and the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Ruby Bridges was born on September 8th, 1954 in Tylertown, Mississippi. Her family moved soon after in 1955 to New Orleans, where they thought that they would find better opportunities. They certainly found a change. When Ruby was 6 years old, desegregation became a reality in the school systems, and Ruby was among only six children who passed a screening test for admittance to the newly integrated public schools. I wonder what she and her family expected of this integration. Whatever they may have expected for their six-year-old daughter, what Ruby got was an escort of four federal marshals taking her to her first grade classroom. Through angry protesters and militant armed segregationists. She was the first and only black student at William Franz Public School. Only one teacher was willing to teach her. No students were willing to sit in a classroom with a black student. She learned as a class of one, with one Mrs. Henry guiding her lessons. But Ruby Bridges never missed a single day of school, waiting all the while for integration to become not just a legal reality, but a cultural value that was shared by the people around her. And the truth is that even though school integration has come a long way since the 1960s, she is still, in many ways, waiting for true integration, for racial justice and equality to become the reality, not just the legality. She's now the chair of the Ruby Bridges Foundation, which she formed in 1999 to promote values of tolerance, respect, and appreciation for all differences. And in describing the mission of her foundation, she says, "Racism is a grown-up disease. We must stop using our children to spread it." Now, on the days when I feel like I have waited forever for the world to turn and for things to get better, her story puts mine in a bit of perspective. Yes, I have waited at various times, especially when it comes to the sort of long arc of justice that Martin Luther King Jr. mentioned. I feel like I have been waiting. And right now, given the political climate of our times, it can feel like we are going to be waiting forever. But my experience with waiting for justice is dwarfed next to the experience of Ruby Bridges. This is a woman who knows how to wait. The fact is that we spend a great deal of our time in our lifetimes waiting, existing in one state of being while hoping for something that is yet to come. Most of us aren't very good at waiting. This becomes very clear if you're ever in line at the DMV, right? We don't really know what to do while waiting, even for the little everyday things, even now that we all have like these mini computers in our pockets that we're doing things with, because there are only so many times that you can check your phone, and there's nothing you can do about waiting. Sometimes you just have to wait. So waiting sort of makes us feel powerless and anxious about a future that we cannot control, and that's just the checkout line at the grocery store. I'm willing to bet that most of you know what it's like to have that anxious, powerless feeling, amplified many times over by the fact that what you're waiting for is not the DMV or the grocery store, but relief from pain or sickness or grief. If you've waited ever through unemployment or infertility or addiction, your own or someone you love's, you know what it's like to feel out of control, teetering on the edge of hopelessness as you wait for something better to maybe come along. And all of us live in this sort of imperfect, messy world where so many things happen that we can't understand or explain and that we would not choose. We are all subject to the shifts of nature and the mortality of ourselves and the people we love, and systems of injustice that are far beyond our own control, and the unpredictable cruelty of other human beings. We all know what it's like to wait and to hope for a world that is kinder, fairer, more just, more peaceful, more loving, right? Simeon and Anna spent their whole lives waiting. By all accounts, both of them were fairly advanced in years. Simeon had been promised that he would not die until he saw the Messiah, and one gets the feeling that maybe he had been waiting around for quite a bit longer than he might have expected by standards of the day. Anna was 84 years old, which is reasonably far along in years even now, but miraculously old for a woman at that time. Both of them had waited decades to see the one who would save them and save their people. If anyone knew how to wait, it was these two. And for us, who are so much in a state of waiting, Anna and Simeon and Ruby Bridges, I think, might serve as examples of ways that we could endure well. And not just endure, but wait actively, which I realize sounds like a bit of a contradiction, right? Wait actively. But bear with me. We may be powerless to control when our redemption arrives, but we are not powerless when it comes to what we do in the meantime. So the first thing that Anna and Simeon and Ruby show us is how important it is to show up. When Simeon felt the leading of the Spirit, he didn't sit around and debate with himself about whether he could maybe go tomorrow instead of today. And he didn't sit around and say, well, today is not my day to go to temple. That's Friday. And he didn't discount the tug that was on his soul and go about the routine of his day. He went to the temple. Anna didn't even have to go to the temple. She was already there, waiting day and night, actually living in the temple, living in the place that she needed to be when her redemption arrived. And Ruby Bridges showed up for school every day, even when no one else wanted her there, even when angry and armed crowds tried to keep her away. She just kept showing up. Each of them positioned themselves physically and spiritually for hope, and that made it possible for them to wait well. So I ask you, where is it that you need to be for the good of yourself and for the good of the world? Where is it that you need to show up right now? Woody Allen once said that 80% of life is just showing up. But I have to tell you, that still leaves another 20%. So, the second lesson I think that we can learn from people who wait well is to get ready. For Anna, that meant fasting and praying, going through exercises for the body and the soul to prepare her to recognize and welcome her Savior. For Simeon, that meant living a life that was righteous and devout, paying attention to his own spiritual well-being and to the way he was interacting with the world so that other people saw his example. For Ruby Bridges, it meant going way above and beyond to get the education that she needed to live a whole lifetime of trying to change the system so that other children wouldn't need to suffer the same kind of racism that she did. Life, I think, is a little bit like a TSA line. It goes smoother if you take your laptop and your hygiene items out of the bag before you get to the conveyor belt. We have to get ready. And if we're going to need some work on our hearts and our minds and our bodies to receive whatever good it is that we're waiting for, it makes sense to do that while we're waiting, not after the thing arrives. People who wait well use their waiting time wisely to orient themselves toward the hope that is coming. And so I ask you, what preparation do you need to be doing right now? What will make you best able to receive the redemption that you're waiting for? How can you get ready? The third thing that I think we learn from good waiters, not waiters, but waiters, is that sometimes the best kind of waiting is the kind where we don't just wait. There is a way of living in which we realize that the fullness of our redemption has not yet happened, and yet that we can be the redemption in some small measure in the time and place that we exist. I think this is part of what Anna and Simeon were doing as prophets of their time. They were signaling to a whole group of people who were waiting and looking for redemption that there was still hope, that their salvation was on the way, that despite appearances, God still cared about them, God was still with them, God was sending their answer. And Ruby Bridges certainly has not been waiting around for someone else to do the work of racial justice for her. She's doing that work, making sure that fewer and fewer children have to experience the kind of racism and discrimination that she did. She is daily creating a world where someday children won't have to wait for justice. People who wait well don't just wait. They wait by making hope happen. And so I ask us, how can we live in a way that brings hope to other waiting people? How might we alter the patterns of our lives so that they reflect the good things that we're waiting for? How might we be the redemption that we seek? Waiting is not comfortable, but it doesn't have to be a time when we become stagnant or apathetic. We can watch and wait actively. We can watch and wait with focus and determination. Show up. Get ready. Be the redemption you seek. You never know. We might surprise ourselves by how little we feel like we've been waiting at all. In the name of the Creator and the Redeemer and the Sustainer, amen.